welcome to Random Bible Thoughts with Russ podcast. I've been out of the loop for a while, haven't done one for a couple of months. I'm going to get back into the habit of doing these on a regular basis. So, this podcast is entitled Ignoring Instructions. And the key verses here is Proverbs 15, 32 through 33. In the ESV, and I will also be reading it 31 through 33 in the Complete Jewish Bible. Proverbs 15, 32 through 33 ESV. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. The fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. That's in the ESV. In the Complete Jewish Bible, starting at 31, which I should have started the ESV at 31. I apologize for that. He who heeds life-giving correction will be at home in the company of the wise. He who spurns discipline detests himself, but he who listens to correction grows in understanding. The discipline of wisdom is fear of Adonai. So before being honored, a person must be humble. I'll be taking this verse and breaking it down, highlighting various words and their meanings in other scriptures. So let's get started in an in-depth look at this verse mentioned above. Proverbs 15:32. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. Whoever. I'm not a big fan of political correctness. When it's he, her, me, you, us, them, then that's how it should be. This verse is speaking, isn't speaking to just a selected few. It's not speaking to males or females. It's not speaking to the rich or the poor, the powerful or the weak. It's speaking to you and me. We are the whoever. Your status in society, or lack of status, you are the whoever. John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. The word whoever is not exclusive, it's inclusive. It refers to everyone on this earth. If you believe in God of the Bible, or don't believe in God of the Bible, you are still a whoever. Next word is ignores. The NASB states it this way. He who neglects. He here is referring to a male or a female. The word ignores or neglects is a verb. It's an action word, meaning to let alone, avoid, neglect. Whoever takes intentional action to not listen to instructions. God tells us to repent. We are instructed to repent. King David in Psalms 32 gives an example of when he neglected to repent and also the results of repentance. Psalms 32, verse 1 and following. Blessed is the one whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sins is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away, though my groaning all day long, through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was dried up, as by the heat of the summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Psalms tells us, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. As we follow the instructions of the Lord, we are blessed, not just repentance, but in putting into action God's word. Luke 11:28. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Not following God's instructions can be like a heavy weight around your neck. You want an easy life? Sorry, it's not going to happen. This world is dying. This world is cursed. as we stop ignoring God's instructions, or we, as we will see shortly, God's discipline, we navigate this world through all its turmoil and have a joy to be in God's rest. Why? Because He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. That is the Holy Spirit that is in us. We as Bible-believing Christians have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. He helps us understand, guides us in choices, lets us know when we are about to fall, renews us when we are at our wits' end. He gives us strength, the words to say. Stop and listen for the Lord. Ignoring or neglecting the Lord is not a viable option. Ignoring or neglecting the Lord is not a viable option. You're not going to have the peace that we can have through Christ. We're not going to have the peace that we get when we let the Holy Spirit guide us. Psalms 32:3. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For the day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer. Don't keep silent. If you've done something and you've been convicted that it's a wrong thing, improper thing, a sin, and you know it, confess it. Be relieved of that anguish. The next word is instruction. This is from the previous, key verse, instruction. There is an aspect to this word that most probably don't want to hear. It's discipline, chastising, correction. Ouch. This verse is telling us not to ignore the discipline or correction. What are the results of our actions when we ignore instructions or discipline? Answered in the next word. And here is the next word, despise. This is another action word, a verb. When you despise instructions, you are taking intentional action to not listen. You are rejecting the instructions of discipline. You are refusing to take the necessary action for correction. You become volatile, melt away, as the King James translates this word sometimes. Although the next word is himself, it's speaking about the individual that does this. Rarely does the actions of a single person only affect the person alone. Your actions normally have a broader effect on others, especially within a family unit. May also add, within the church family also. The church body can also be affected by those who ignore instruction and discipline. When that happens, division, not multiplication, can happen. The big but, and as some of you may have heard me in past podcasts, when you say but, you are either canceling out or contradicting what you just said. The big but. But he who listens, we have despise or not following instructions and things that can happen there. Now the big but he who listens, the one who hears and understands, who perceives this instruction and obeys, the one who takes advice given and makes corrections. Action taken, choice is made. Just like it's a choice to not listen, to ignore instructions, it's also a choice to listen and discern that the instructions and or discipline is for the benefit of the one instruction is given to, and also benefit to the body that is the church. Next word, reproof, also means rebuke, correction, punishment, chastisement. Reproof is letting know of someone's mistake. Reproof is letting know that of someone's mistake. As Christians, when we see someone in sin, it is the duty of Christians to approach that person in love, make them aware of their wrongdoing. Matthew 18:15-17 give instructions on how this is done. As I'm doing this today, I came across many verses on judging other believers and fellow believers. as fellow believers. Excuse me. That's another study that's in my green file, and actually that study's been done. It's no longer in my green folder, it's done. And maybe I'll, I think I've done that one. I might do it again light of this. May I also say, when someone is seen in incorrect doctrine or theology, not only in sin, but in incorrect doctrine or theology, it is the benefit of every Christian when they see another Christian that is talking about a doctrine or theology that is not biblical to correct them. As that verse says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Well, it's be women too, not just men. This is all inclusive to be politically correct, although I don't really like politically correctness. But anyways, go on. It's not just the job of pastors or elders. We are all called to a holy priesthood. We are all called to ministry. Just one final comment on this word reproof. There is an aspect of chastisement. Nobody wants to be chastised. As fellow Christians, by letting a fellow Christian continue down the path of destruction, and we don't do or say anything, if it is possible, we are not allowing them to, if it be possible, are we not allowing them to throw away their faith and maybe their eternity with Christ? If you let someone keep going down a road of destruction, of false teaching, etc., are we not allowing them to potentially throw away their faith? The next word, gains. Gains. This is a verb, so there is some action happening here. Through the reproof, you obtain, acquire, secure something favorable or profitable to you. In effect, it's also profitable to those whom you have contact with. If it be your family, the church you attend, or those you work with, what you gain can be useful to others also as you speak to them. So when you're following the instruction, you gain something which can be helpful to others. Intelligence. The next word is intelligence. Not sure I like the ESV use of the word intelligence. Most versions use the word understanding, or a couple versions use good sense. The NASB, the New American Standard Bible translation, as well as others, have a footnote, and it states this literally: heart. One who listens to reproof gains heart. Gains heart. Acts 8:20-22. Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy a gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hopes that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart." Just a few more verses about the heart. Romans 10:9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. Matthew 15:18. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. By listening to reproof, taking corrective action, we gain understanding. We gain heart. A heart for the Lord, a heart for the church, a heart for people. Scripture is very clear, and I believe that the heart is the center of our relationship with the Lord and anyone else for that matter. Look at the verses above. These are just a few heart verses. There are many. Believing in your heart, with the heart you believe and are justified. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, is so as your actions of faith. Where the heart is, so are your actions of faith. Summary of verse 32, by ignoring discipline, a not listening to reproof, you're not only continuing your failures as a Christian, those failures will and does affect those around you. By listening, you gain understanding. You gain heart. You start walking in step with the Lord and in turn have a positive effect on those around you. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Fear the Lord. This can be a tough thing to grasp, especially if you don't know what the word fear in this context. Fearing God in this context is reverence for God, as noted in the NASB translation. Revering God or fearing God in this way is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge, Proverbs 1-7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is like the awe of God. Having awe of God and that what He can do compared to us as mere humans. The awe of God. What does reverence mean? As a noun, it's deep respect for something or someone. High esteem, high regard, great respect, acclaim, admiration, appreciation. Favor as a verb, regard, or deep with, or treat with deep respect. What comes with reverence for God? How about desires? When you hold someone up and have a high regard for them or a deep respect for them, you have a certain desires. Maybe it's to be more like them or follow in their footsteps to imitate them. As the verses above, the fear of the Lord or reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. I think having a real reverence for God, that we have a desire to imitate Him. No, we can't create a universe. No, we can't create a universe or be everywhere at once. These are aspects of God. There are aspects of God that we can't imitate. Ephesians 5:1-2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God. Why? Because we are His children. John 1:12. But to all who died, received Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. This, Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Notice, we are not stepchildren. We are His children. It always bothered me when someone marries into an existing family and when kids are introduced. Something like this is said. This is my wife, Mary, my daughter, Sue, my son, Bill, and my stepson, Mike. You did a couple things here, there, when you used the word stepson. One, you reminded him he's not your son. Two, you are not his father. And three, he's extra baggage. If you are a man or a woman marrying someone with kids, they are your kids. You married the family, not the individual. In case you think I don't know what I'm talking about, I married a woman with three kids. They are my kids. I don't introduce them as stepchildren. And they don't introduce me as their stepdad. At the point here is being imitators of God because I love them. And they love me, and they can be called children of Russ. The same goes for being God's children. He loves us. We love Him. We become God's children. I have not found any references as God's children as stepchildren. We are part of the family. Being an imitator of God, we are to love one another, being kind, forgiving one another as God forgave us in Christ. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God, Christ, forgave you. Another thought here is there are some people I just don't like, or you might say, I'll never forgive them. Well, guess what? Ephesians 4:1-32 is speaking of believers. To have unity in the body of Christ, we have a new life in Christ. Let this sink in. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Can't be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. How are we supposed to affect the world, those around us, when we as Christians act as we are still part of the worldly family instead of the heavenly family? I want to read that one more time here, because I think this is important for a lot of Christians to grasp, because I just think there are some Christians that are out there that say, I can't forgive him. I can't love him or her, whatever. So I'm going to read this again. There are some people that I know the thought here is, there are some people I just don't like, or you might say I'll never forgive them. Well, guess what? Ephesians 4, 1 through 32 is speaking to believers. This is speaking to believers. To have unity in the body of Christ. We have a new life for Christ. And let this sink in again. I'm saying it again. If we as brothers and sisters in Christ can't be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another, how are we supposed to affect the world, those around us? We as Christians act if we are still part of the worldly family instead of the heavenly family. So if you're a Christian and there's someone in your life that is also a Christian, but you have an issue with them, you're not going to be very effective in the world. You need to take that issue and take care of it, bury it, get rid of it, resolve it. Reconcile. That's a good word, reconcile. As imitators of God, we are to throw off our old self and be holy as God is holy. 1 Peter 1 through 14. As obedient children, again, it doesn't say stepchildren, children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Former ignorance, who you were before coming to Christ, having received the gift of adoption. I need to make a note here. I got to share that verse with somebody. So let's get back on track here. The fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, we desire to imitate His love, His mercy. We desire relationship to be deepened with you. We desire His word. We desire communication with Him. We desire to worship Him. We desire to follow Him. We desire to be obedient. We desire to fellowship with Him. We desire to commune with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And maybe the hardest of all is we desire to share Him. I know sometimes sharing Christ can be frightening. It can be scary. But the Lord will help you. He'll tell you what to say. Next word is instruction and wisdom, or phrase, I guess. In verse 32, instruction is better translated discipline, as the NASB does. But in this case, instruction is just that, instruction. The fear of the Lord is guidance and wisdom. God will not misdirect you, mislead you, when it comes to make wise decisions, or speaking wise words to others. When we fail in making a wise choice, it is because we are listening to our thought instead of God's instruction. How we know the difference? Well, here is a thought. If the door is closed and isn't opening, or if the door is closed while trying to make a decision, then don't force it open. You're probably not to go in that direction. If you force it open and things go south, then it's all on you. That's my thought. If the door's shut, or if the door's open a little bit and you're trying to make a decision, that door closes, you probably weren't supposed to go through the door. So don't force it back open. Move on. That's my thought. We have the Holy Spirit that is with us at all times. Part of this reason for being there is to guide us. He guides us, guides in all that we do. We just need to listen more and talk less. We need to reason things in accordance with the Word of God and not the ways of the world. Next word, humility and honor. I promise this is almost done. Humility and honor. The fear of the Lord instructs us in humility. Other uses of the word for humility are gentleness and meekness. How's the word humility defined in Webster's Dictionary? And I'm getting to a point where I don't know if I really care for Webster's Dictionary either. I should have looked at my Bible dictionary, maybe. The quality or state of not thinking you are better than other people. The instruction in humility that we receive from the fear of the Lord is an understanding that we need you, Lord. I can't imagine my life without God, my life without His intervention. Here are a few verses on those who humble themselves and call upon the Lord. Psalms 18:27, for you save a humble people. Psalms 25:9, He leads the humble in what is right, teaches the humble His ways, but the haughty eyes you bring down. Psalms 149:4, for the Lord takes pleasure in His people, He adorns the humble with salvation. This is one of my favorite verses, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and many people know this. If, that's a big word there too, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. What do these verses tell us? The Lord saves the humble. He leads the humble. He teaches the humble. He clothes the humble with salvation. And last but not the least, by any means, He hears the humble and heals their land. There's some little personal thought on 2 Chronicles. This verse is being stated to a nation of Israel, a nation in trouble. I also believe the principles of this very apply to us also in our lives. If we humble ourselves and pray, He will heal our lives, give us the peace we so desire. We need to come to the conclusion that we cannot fix our lives without the Lord. James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will exalt you. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will exalt you. James 4:10 is a good verse to read in conjunction with Proverbs 15:33. There will be those who see humbleness as weakness. But when we humble ourselves before the Lord, He honors us, or as James states it, He exalts us. He will lift us up, raise us up to dignity. As we humble before the Lord, the world will see that they will see your light shining from amongst the evils of the world. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts, again, back to the heart, to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How's your light shining? Do you need to humble yourselves before the Lord? Here's my final thoughts, and that'll wrap this podcast up. Final thoughts? When we ignore instructions, or as the NSAB puts it, discipline, we despise ourselves. We will continue to fail in our relationship with the Lord, which is in turn affects our personal relationship with others. When we listen to reproof, correction, we will gain understanding as we fear the Lord. Having reverence for the Lord, we gain instructions in wisdom and humility. With that humility before the Lord, He will honor us, lift us up, exalt us. The effects of the Lord honoring us, our light will shine, reflect the light of Christ. John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. God bless.